Well, I'm really excited for this morning. I'm especially excited because this is my first time ever to preach two services. So y'all are cheering for me, but that means this is my practice rep, okay? So y'all got to pray for me, all right? I'm going to do the best I can. No, I'm just playing. But hey, welcome to Grace Point Church. If you don't know who I am, my name is Zach. I have the great honor and the great privilege to lead our youth ministry alongside my wife, Savannah. Thank you. The changes lately in our church have been super exciting because it's just growth. Like, God is just doing really cool things. And what's neat about it is it's not just growth in numbers, it's growth in people. Like, I've started to see different people that I know I have relationship with, and they're just growing. They're just going deeper. They're just getting better. Their walk in the Lord is just continuing to have this upward trajectory. And I'm just thankful because I really believe, like, that's what God has for us right now. It's a season of growth. And that doesn't mean more numbers in the chairs. That doesn't more butts in the seats is what we like to say in Bible school, right? It's not just that. It's God wants something in your life that you don't even know about yet, because God's so good. He loves us, and he wants to continue to grow us and develop us, but we got to be a part of the process. Amen? Amen. I love it because we've been growing so much. It was funny, you know, it's been a little bit of a time adjustment for us as a family. The Routon family, we're not very much morning people, okay? We're more late afternoon people. I'm a millennial, so don't hold it against me. I know we got a stigma in my generation. My wife texted me this morning. She was like, hey, is it frowned upon if Adelina wears pajamas? And I'm like, hey, it's pajama day at church, okay? It's pajama day at church. My two-year-old's wearing pajamas. We made it. Amen. Anybody just make it this morning, you're just glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited because I get to continue on the series that we have been in here as a church. And today I'm tasked with the responsibility of this question: what on earth am I here for? Right? We're living our calling. We're trying to do what God has told us to do. We're trying to do things God's way when we read the Bible, read the Word. But this is a question that if we're being really honest with ourselves, even as Christians at times, we have a hard time with this question. We struggle with this side of what am I really on this earth for, God? What do you have for me? What is this thing called life? Because right now it's Tuesday and gas just cost me $55 to fill up. And I'm trying to figure out what is going on. What on earth am I here for? Am I alone? Has anyone else felt this pain before in their lives? A great American author, Mark Twain, says it like this. The two most important days of your life are the day you are born and the day you figure out why. The day you're born and the day that you figure out why. Because when we come into this life, we come in kicking and screaming. You know, we don't know anything. Somebody's got to change our diapers for us. It's a whole lot of fun. And then as we grow, you know, I told somebody recently, I'm 26 now, so I'm on the latter half of my 20s. And I was like, hey, it's funny how much I thought I knew in my early 20s. You know, in my early 20s, I thought I knew everything, right? And now I'm realizing I don't know anything. And I think it's just this continual trajectory in life where it's like, man, we're trying to figure it out a little bit. We're actually trying to figure it out so much that I went to a really great resource, a great Jesus resource that just helps us a lot when we're preparing and, you know, just doing the work of preparing these sermons. I went to Google. Yep. And I Googled the question, what on earth am I here for? And I don't know if you could see the results right there. That's almost 2 billion times that someone has either searched that question or has written something about that question. Almost 2 billion times, this is something that people have typed into their phone, they have typed into their desktop, they have typed onto their device. If you're an Android user, we still love you, okay? Just don't get upset if you're not in the group text messages, because we don't like green bubbles, all right? That's all it is. It's not personal. I just like the color blue. But this is definitely something that we all struggle with. And the thing about this question is really only one person can give us the answer. Really, only one person can give us the answer. You know, I use this example a lot in the youth ministry at Summit. I tell the teens, like, hey, you got to understand something. Like, God is our creator. We believe God created the universe. We believe God created everything in it. The devil had his way and twisted some of the things, but God created all things to be good. God created all things for a purpose. God created all of this stuff, and the thing about this is, since God is the creator, God knows how it works best. What I mean by that is, I would never sit across a table from Elon Musk and tell him how a Tesla works. What a great idiot I would be, right? He created the Tesla. I think Elon Musk knows how a Tesla works. I wouldn't say, hey, this part's wrong. This is how you do that. No, he's the one that made it. He's the one that designed it. He's the one that had come up with it. And so because of that, he knows best. And in the same way, but so much more, God created the universe, but on a much smaller and more real level, God created you and God created me. The Bible says that God knew us even before we were in our mother's womb, before he even formed us and knitted us. God knew who you were. God had a purpose for your life. And guess what? God had a purpose for you to be born during this time period, during this season of humanity that we're all in. We're buckled along for the ride. I always laugh when people are like, man, these might be the worst times we've ever been in. I'm like, nah, this might just be the most news coverage we've ever had. You know, because like, there's been bad things going on around the world for a really long time, but God has had you in this time and in this season for a specific purpose. Amen? Amen. So before we get into the reading of God's word, I want to pray this morning. I just want to invite God to speak to each of us. I get it. I kind of grew up in church. Some of us are just doing good to be here this morning. Other of us, we're doing good not to beat our kids on the way here this morning. And we're using coffee to hang on a lot of the times, especially the 9:30. So what I want to pray is, I want to pray that this time isn't wasted. I want to pray that this is so much more than just a Sunday message from your goofball youth pastor, okay? Because God has... Somebody laughed too hard at that. Huh? I don't know who it was. Somebody laughed too hard at that. But God has something for us, and it's not because of me, and it's not because it's just Sunday morning, but it's because it's God's word. It's God's word, and it's meant to change our lives. The Bible says, why read God's word? It's like, and not doing anything with it. It's like looking in a mirror and then walking away and completely forgetting what you look like. It's crazy. God's word is meant to be applied. So let's pray about that this morning. Father God, we come to you. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for today, God. We love you. And Lord, we invite you in this morning. God, we pray for no spirit but the Holy Spirit. God, we pray that your word would impact our lives. God, let your word be true and let every man be a liar. God, we pray that we would receive what you have for us, that God, we would hear what you're saying, and that God, this would be something that you could mold into us, that Lord, it's not just something that we hear on a Sunday, but it's something that we're chewing on a Monday. It's something that we're digesting on a Tuesday. It's something that we're living out and letting it change and challenge and transform us on a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday, God. Because I believe that your word is meant to help us draw near to you. And it's meant to improve our lives. So God, help us to receive that this morning. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. God is good. And all the time. Amen. So looking at scripture, I want to turn to one of my favorite passages. It's a very encouraging passage. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. If you have your Bible, feel free to open it. If you got a phone, that's okay too. But let's turn to our Bibles this morning. Verse 28 says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God." Pause. That right there has always been like one of my most favorite parts of Scripture. Because God causes everything to work for the good of those who love him. That means the good, the bad, the ugly, God's going to work it out in your life for good. So the heartbreaks, the disappointments, the things that seemed like it was a waste of time, even those things, God is going to use it for our good. Amen. So he's going to use it for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So God has a purpose for our lives. Verse 29, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them," catch this, "to become like his son." He chose them to become like his son so that his son, Jesus Christ, would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Amen. See, sometimes I think we overanalyze God because this verse, this scripture right here shows us God just wanted a big family. God just wanted a big family. When he created us, you know, we have talked before of like, when we watch the movies, me and my wife, we've talked about how like the Thanksgiving table, when there's like 10 people around the Thanksgiving table, you know, in the process, it's like, oh, I don't know if I want that many kids, right? But when you get to the older part of your life, it's like, man, it was worth it. It was worth it because look at the joy that comes from this big family. Look at the fun that comes from this big family. Look at just how nice it is to be around the table with my family. And that's God's heart for us, is God wanted us to be a part of his big, old, crazy family. And we got to understand in Christians that our purpose in life is to be a part of that family. We screwed it up in the garden. Adam and Eve, they were faithless. But Jesus was faithful. That's why he died on the cross. And so to be a part of this big family, we got to submit our lives to Christ. And we got to understand that our purpose in life on this side of heaven, now our purpose in life is to become like Christ. Our purpose is to become like Christ. And I think the big problem, especially in the American church, is we haven't done a good job at this. I think, you know, you look at statistics, and if you look at statistics too much, it can be a little discouraging. But, you know, you look at statistics and people who identify as Christians and then people who don't identify as Christians, but maybe they have a different belief system. And I hate to see it. I hate to know that it's true. But you look at the stats of a Christian versus a non-believer, a believer in Jesus Christ versus someone who has no relationship with Jesus Christ, and you look at the divorce rate. They're almost identical. You look at the nuclear family and how much has been busted up. It's almost identical. And then, so that's the stats. But the hurt, the stories are, hey, I came to church and those people, they were jerks. I came to church and they didn't love me. They didn't help me. They didn't care about me. And I think the problem with the American church today, and I think the problem with most of our hearts, is we're stuck in this place where our lives, we don't look like Christ. We're not walking like Christ. And so we're inviting Christ into our church service on a Sunday morning, but that's not what it's meant to be. We got to invite Christ into our lives. And when we do that, guess what? Our marriages get better. When we do that, guess what? Our kids aren't looking at us and thinking we're fake because we go to church and we put on this facade, but they see what's happening at home. And so when they get older, they're like, I don't want any part of that because I'm not interested in the makeup. I'm not interested in the fake. I feel the biggest reason that people have a hard time with Christians and their church today, it isn't because they have a problem with the gospel as much as it is they have a problem with us not looking like the gospel. If we really believe what we say we believe, our lives should look different. Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth. We're a light on the hill. And I'll be the first to tell you, I always haven't been perfect at that. I'm a work in process. I've got a lot of things in my own life that still need improvement. I'm thankful we're about to be 5 years married. Praise God, but let me tell you something, church. The devil did not want that. Yeah. And there have been times where I've been on a stage or leading in a youth ministry, and I'm sitting and I'm preaching, and I'm sure my wife was looking at me like, man, I really don't like you right now. But I'm thankful. We still got a ways to go, but I'm thankful that now I can stand here and know, hey, my wife knows, like, I'm not perfect, but I'm willing to sit down and get before the Lord. Hey, I'm not perfect. We got our moments sometimes, but she knows, like, I'm trying to submit. I'm trying to be humble. I'm trying to live what I'm preaching. And guys, as Christians, we got to do that. If we want to see change in our lives, in our families, in our communities, if we want to see improvement in our marriage, in our relationships with our kids, if we want people to look at our lives and think of us as people that, hey, I want to be like that. I don't know what it is about that guy, but he's got something going on in his life. I don't know what it is about that chick, but she's got something going on in her life where, like, I want that. The Bible calls it the perfume of Christ. It's attractive to those that are around us, but we got to know our purpose in order to achieve our purpose. We've got to know our purpose in order to become like Christ. We got to be aware of that. That's what we're supposed to do. You're not just supposed to check in on a Sunday, check my box, I'm good for the week. I don't have to stop cussing at my wife. I don't have to stop treating my kids badly. You know, like, that's not what it is. When we're inviting Christ into our lives, all of those things change. But here comes the problem. It's hard. It's messy. It's ugly. Sometimes you gotta let people get in your business. And so this question of how? Okay, preacher, that sounds great and all, but how? You don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand what I deal with. You don't understand my background. Well, I don't, but God does. Okay? So there ain't anybody in this room this message doesn't apply to this morning. So if you're checked out right now, check in, okay? So how do I become who God calls me to be? If God calls me to become like Christ, how do I become who God calls me to be? I'm going to give you, for my note takers, I'm going to give you 8 practical things you can start doing today. There's a saying, keep it simple. Oh, y'all are mean. Keep it simple, silly. What are y'all? Some of y'all said stupid. No, keep it simple, silly. You silly gooses that said stupid. We would not say that. Come on. But I'm going to give you 8 things this morning. And the first one, I gave my note takers some time here. The first one is this. I've got to simplify my life. I've got to simplify my life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, anytime there's a therefore in the Bible, we need to ask ourselves, what is it there for, okay? So Hebrews 11, it was a huge, they call it the hall of faith, like the hall of fame, a list of people in the Bible who were believers in Christ. They did amazing things in their life. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, Hebrews 12, 1, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. What the author is saying here, let us strip off every weight. Notice that there's a break between let us strip off every weight that slows us down, and then especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And I love this verse because it gets really practical. What the Bible is saying here is like, hey, there's some things in your life that are just straight up sin. You know, and we could talk about that. I don't need to because I don't got time today. But there's some things in your life that are just straight up sin that, yeah, definitely, you need to get rid of that. Because if you don't get rid of that in your life, it's going to trip you up. It's going to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. It's going to keep you from becoming who God wants you to become. So we got to get rid of the sin. But also the author says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. It's not talking about losing weight necessarily. But I love this because the author is trying to get into our business right here. Because what he's saying is there are things in your life that they're not sinful, but they're not important. They're not necessarily wrong. It's not like it's a bad thing, but it's not a good thing. It's not an eternal thing. It's not a God thing. Let me give you an example. I'm going to come at my fellas real quick, okay? And so let us strip off every weight that slows us down. What does that mean? I love football, but what that means is maybe I should start thinking about my 3 hours on Monday night, my 3 hours on Thursday night, my entire Saturday is booked because I got to watch all the college football games, and then my entire Sunday is booked because I got to watch all the NFL football games, and then rinse, wash, and repeat. Is this sinful to watch football? No, I'm a Cowboys fan. I love football. I'm huge on football. My wife could tell you what we're going to do today after church. We're going to go home. We're going to eat some food. I'm going to lay on the couch. We're going to turn on the TV and we're going to watch football. and it's going to be amazing. I'm going to love it. But listen, this is just an example of something in your life that if you're not careful, and if it's 3 hours Monday, 3 hours Thursday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday, you might want to check yourself a little bit. Am I spending so much time on things that are important? Is what's going on right now really going to last and be eternal? Is it really going to make a difference in my life and my family? And I think if we're being honest with ourselves, not just the football fellas, I picked on you because I don't like to pick on the ladies because I'm a guy, get over it. But if we're not careful, we'll have these weights and these things in our lives that they're not necessarily sinful, but they're hurting us. They're not necessarily bad, but they're slowing us down. We've got to look at our lives and we got to ask ourselves, what are the things in my life that are there that maybe don't need to be there? God, what are the things in my life that it's not sinful, it's not necessarily bad, but it's something that I've put in my backpack of life that I'm carrying around that you didn't put there. And because I'm carrying this thing around, it's slowing me down. It's keeping me from being effective. It's keeping me from doing what you've called me to do. It's keeping me from loving you the way that I need to love you. It's keeping me from loving my family the way I need to love them. It's keeping me from loving my church and my community the way that I need to. There's things in our lives that if we're being really honest with ourselves, and this is why I say the Bible likes to get in your business, because I don't know what these weights are, but we all have these things that are slowing us down. And if we want to be more like Christ and become who he calls us to be, we got to keep it simple. We got to simplify our lives. The second thing is this, and this is really helpful for me specifically. It says this, take one step at a time. Take one step at a time. I don't know if you guys struggle with this, but sometimes when I think about life, it can be a little overwhelming. Because even though we're here in church on Sunday, we're thinking about what we got to do tomorrow on Monday. And we're thinking about that thing that's coming up on Thursday. And we're thinking about how crazy Thanksgiving's going to be, and it's not even going to be a good time because it's so stressful, and everybody's got to cook, and then we got to clean, and then I got to deal with my family, and then my uncle's going to want to talk about politics. Like, anybody got uncles like that? Just me? Okay, I don't know. But we got to take one step at a time. The end of Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Because we each have our own race in life. We each have our own responsibilities and things that we're supposed to do here on earth. But we gotta run with endurance. Another translation says, let's run with patience. Let's run with patience. Let's stop trying to skip ahead. Let's stop worrying about everything else going on in the world around us. Let's be present in the moment that you're in right now. I love my iPhone, but I'll tell you what, guys. Phones are really bad at stealing our attention and keeping us from being present in the moment for what God is wanting to do in your life right now or right whenever that moment is. You know, Jesus said it like this, don't worry about tomorrow, for today has got enough trouble of its own. And by worrying, you can't even add another hair to your head, so why worry? You know, I love this quote. I heard a minister say it one time. Jesus did life at the speed of 3 miles per hour. When you read the Bible, Jesus never ran anywhere. Jesus was never in a hurry. As a matter of fact, there were moments in the Bible when Jesus was walking, sometimes he would be headed toward a really important, influential individual. And even in those moments, he would have people stop him. And guess what? Jesus would stop. Because Jesus wasn't in a hurry to get somewhere. He was taking one step at a time because he knew that every single person mattered. He knew that every single moment had weight. He knew that everything that he did was important. In this life, we got to make sure that we're taking one step at a time. That we're taking a deep breath and we're saying, God, I have this race set out before me, but I gotta have endurance. I got to have patience because if I try too hard to skip ahead to the next thing, I'm going to miss out on what you've got right now. We're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen next. You know, the best laid plans of mice and men, oft gone wrongly, which is old English for often go wrong. That's the only book I remember from my English class. I don't know why I remember that either. But make sure, guys, make sure, especially when you're sitting across from a person, that God has placed his breath inside, that God sent his son Jesus to die for. Make sure we're not so worried about the next thing. We got to take one step at a time. Another thing, number three, that we can do to become more like Jesus is we've got to spend time focusing on Jesus every day. We've got to spend time focusing on Jesus every day. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says it like this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Another translation says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix them. Like direct them. Like choose where you're going to set your attention. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, because we've got like the New King James going on. You know, behold the glory of the Lord. And as you do so, you'll be transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Basically, if I had to kind of make this more modern, what I would say is like, hey, sometimes it takes a little while to get the street out of the saint. You know what I mean? Like we're called to be saints, but sometimes we're still living in the streets a little bit. And so our ratchetness takes a little while to turn into our righteousness. You know what I mean? And so God right here, he's like, hey, if you want to become more like me, if you want to see change in your life, you got to behold me. You got to fix your eyes on me. You got to focus on Jesus, focus on God's word. And as we do that, we will be transformed from one degree of glory to another. That's why grace is so important. That's why it's so important when someone walks into these buildings. When someone comes into your home, you don't want to judge them for where they're at, because where they're at is where they're starting. And guess what? We all started somewhere. Some of us started from the bottom, now we're here. Only some of y'all got that. That's okay. The older guys, we love you. I don't have a hymn to reference. I can't think of one on the top of my head, but like God's working in your life. God's working in your life. And if you want to see some real change happen, if you want to see this change from just say, hey, I listened to a pastor on a Sunday and that was cool. He was goofy. His jeans were too tight and he's a little chubby. But like, if you want it to be more than that, if you want to see real change in your life, start beholding Christ. Get into God's word. Marinate in what the word is saying. We overcomplicate it. We open the Bible. We feel like we gotta read the whole Bible to be a Christian. No, just pick a passage. Write something down that stood out to you and just let that be in your car for a while. And just when you're getting to the car, hey, God, okay, you want me to be like Christ? God, what does that mean? God, show me what that means. God, be like Christ. Well, I probably wasn't being like Christ earlier when I was having that argument. I probably wasn't being like Christ earlier when I treated that person that way. God, help me to be more like you the next time. We gotta really spend time focusing on Jesus, and we don't have to overcomplicate it. It can be really practical. Number four is this, and I think this is so helpful as a reminder. If we want to become like Christ, then when life gets hard, we got to remember the reward. When life gets difficult, we got to remember the reason why we're doing what we're doing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 through 3 says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'm not here to just say it's always going to be rainbows and sunshine. I'm not even here, especially some of the heartbreaks that people go through, some of the disappointments and pain that people go through. It's so real. And it's so raw. And I think as the church body, Big C, I think sometimes we don't know what to do with that, because we want to be like, hey, just pray. Hey, just read this scripture. Hey, just do this. It'll get better. It'll be okay. And I think sometimes we don't do a good job of sitting in the pain, because I think if we're being honest, sometimes if you really sit in the pain, it's kind of like, maybe it won't get better right now. Maybe it won't change right now. Maybe what that person is going through, it really just does suck. But our promise as Christians, our promise as believers in Jesus, just like Jesus had the joy set before him, he endured the cross so that he could have relationship with us. In that same way, our promise is there is a heaven. There is an eternity. This life, at most, we get 100 years. And it's a very small blip compared to the trillions and trillions of years. We are eternal beings. God created us in his image. So the things that you're going through right now, it might be hard. And I don't want to minimize that. But I just want to tell you that God has something for you. That when it's relative to what God has for us, my God, I got to remember the reward. I might be suffering right now. I might be going through some pain right now, but I got to remember that God is calling me to heaven. God has something for me. 1 Peter 5:10 says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That even if I suffer and go through some bad things in this life is not the only thing. This is just the pregame. This is just the warm-up for eternity spent with you. But in this life, it gets hard. And that's why it's so important, number five, guys, that you gather a team around you to run with you. So that when you're struggling and when you can't pick yourself up, you've got people right next to you that are going to get down in that mess and that mud with you. And they're going to sit with you. And then when you're ready to stand, they're going to help you up. That's what the church is meant to be. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says this, a friend loves at all times. At all times. Good, bad, ugly, all times. And a brother is born for a time of adversity. Guys, stop doing life alone. Stop doing life alone. I'm gonna challenge you, church. Don't just sit next to someone that you'll never talk to on a Sunday. Get in each other's business. Make the awkward ask. Hey, do you want to go to lunch with me? Do you want to go to lunch with me? Like, ask for their phone number. Call them. Check up on them. Go grab a coffee with them. Go to their house and watch the Cowboys game with them. Do life with each other. If you're just coming to church on a Sunday just to hear a message and that's your Christian experience, I'm sorry. That's not the gospel. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to do life together. We're called to be together. Even Jesus went to church. After Jesus was resurrected, what happened in Acts? Guess what? They got together and they hung out and they did life together and they spent time having meals together and they gave each other money and they prayed for one another and they were there for one another. And because of that, look what happened with the church. We're not doing church right, guys. We got to gather together. And be together. Not just gather together, be together. I got to move because this music is telling me, Pastor Zach, you went too long. Yeah, I know. This is why they don't let the youth pastor preach too much. Number six is this. Just kidding. That's not true, by the way. Number six is this. Remember, God is cheering me on at every stage. I have such a heart for people who feel like God is just looking down on them. Like God is just waiting to beat them up, to make their life harder. And that's not the heart of God at all. Jesus took the form of a baby so that he could be like us and relate to us and know what we go through, feel what we go through. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14 says it like this: not that I've already attained all of this, not that I'm perfect yet, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize, catches, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love the imagery there because God is calling us heavenward. You could almost say it like God is cheering us on to heaven. God's encouraging us along the way. God's not just asking you to figure it out on your own. God's walking this thing with you. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives, because the Holy Spirit is going to walk with us and comfort us and help us and convict us and help us to change. God's not looking at us like, man, you're a disappointment. God's not looking at us like, man, when will they figure it out? God's looking at us like, come on, you could do this. I sent my son Jesus to die for you. I care about you so much. I gave you my Holy Spirit to help you. Stop fighting what I'm trying to do in your life. I'm with you. Come on, let's go. Let's do it. You will come so alive when you start reading God's word and then you start applying it. You want to start enjoying life. You want your life to start being exciting. Read God's word and start living it. Start living it. Which leads me to point 7. Take every step with purpose. If you want to become like Christ, you got to take every step with purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 through 26 says this: all athletes are disciplined in their training. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Amen. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing, or I'm not just wasting my time. Know something, guys, that when you sit down at your kitchen table and when you start praying and when you start reading God's word and when you start writing things out and when you start inviting community into your life, when you start inviting God into the office building on a Thursday morning, when you start doing things God's way and we start living with this purpose, this God purpose in every part of our lives, you're going to not only become more like Christ, you're going to start seeing God do some really cool things. Some really cool things. But we got to be intentional about the way that we walk. We got to be intentional about the things that we do. You're not just waking up for your dumb job. No, God put you there for some reason. God has you around those people for some reason. Take every step with purpose. Don't waste a minute. Don't waste a breath. God has something for you. We've got to be disciplined. And we got to walk every step with purpose. And then the last thing and the most helpful and freeing thing. Number 8. If you guys could stand with me. It says, realize what I don't finish, God will. Realize what I don't finish, God will. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this: and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to bring it to completion. I love God's heart for us so much. Because God wants you to get better. He wants you to be more like Christ. But God's looking at the areas of our lives where we are falling short. And guess what? We all fall short of the glory of the Lord. And he's saying, hey, don't get too stressed about the areas where you don't meet the status quo. Don't get too worried. If you feel like you're not good enough at praying, guess what? God's going to fill that gap. And so the first time you grab your wife's hand and you say, honey, let's pray. And you're like, I'm not a pastor. I don't know what the Bible says. I don't know how to pray, but it just sounds like this. God, I need you to grab a hold of our marriage. Guess what? God fills the gap. Because God's going to finish what you couldn't. When you're sitting across the table from your kids and they're going through something that you don't even understand, that you can't even relate to because you've never had to go through it, but you're sitting across from them and you don't even know what to say, but you're just going to open God's word. Because if they're telling you they're depressed, well, let's see what God's word says. Let's read this together. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm going to tell you what, baby, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you could find that, I don't got the right words for you, but I know this is true. And guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to fill that gap because you started it, but God's going to finish it. You took the step, but God's the faithful one who's going to step with you. And guys, you got to stop doing life on your own. We got to become like Christ, but thank God that I didn't have to be Christ because Christ did it for me. He died on the cross for me. He knew that I was never going to be enough. He knew that I would never measure up. He knew that I would never be perfect or be exactly who I need to be, but he loved me anyway. And that's my message to you this morning, no matter where you're at. If you've been a believer for 40 years, praise God, there's still something for you. If you don't even know if you believe in Jesus, praise God you're here, because I'm telling you today to remind you God has something for you. And God will finish it. God will finish it. He's faithful and just. And so this morning, I want to invite everyone in this room. We are all somewhere. And the bar is Christ, so we all got a long way to go. And so if every hand could raise up this morning, we want to become more like Christ today. If that's you this morning, if that's your heart desire, I want you to raise your hand. And we're going to pray that God would help us to become more like him. And also, I want to extend an invitation this morning to those who maybe you're like, you know what, Zach, how can I become more like Christ? And I don't even know Christ. Just take the step. God will complete what he started. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So if that's you this morning, let's raise your hand and let's pray together and invite God in to our lives. Father God, we come to you right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are so faithful and so good to us. You just want relationship with us. God, you just want our lives to look holy and righteous like what you have for us, God. You want good things for us, God. You want good things for us, God. You've called us to live life and life more abundantly. And God, the best way for us to do that, the best way for that to happen in our lives, the best way for us to have joy, the best way for us to have peace, the best way for us to have comfort and restoration in our homes and our marriages and our lives and our workplaces, the best way to do that is for us to draw a circle around ourselves and to look in the mirror and say, okay, Jesus, make me more like you. And so that's our heart this morning, God. We want to look more like you today. Help us to become more like you. Holy Spirit, convict us of our sin. Convict us of our weights. Help us to make this practical, God. Not just a Sunday morning service, but God, a Monday through a Saturday. Help us to know what we've got to do, Lord Jesus. The little changes, God, just to start turning toward you. Because God, you can take the little thing, the faith the size of a mustard seed, Lord. So we come to you this morning, Lord Jesus, and we ask that you would move mountains in our lives. And it starts today, God. We invite you in. God, we want to look more like you. And we give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Y'all give it up for Jesus this morning.